The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
It is the APC Podcast here at acmepackingcompany.com. Part of SB Nation, Vox Media. We'll just go down the conglomerate, the list of all the companies that we sort of work for. I'm Zach Rapport, dialing it in here from, this isn't technically Midtown, is it? No.
Flatiron, I guess.
Flatiron? I don't know. Whatever.
Close to Flatiron.
Google it. We're on 28th and Park, I guess. I am joined here for the first time in a few weeks. We have Alex Patakis and Ben Foldy. Alex, how are you?
I've been better, just fighting off cold. This is the first time I left my apartment in about 48 hours. So I've been binge watching Marvelous Miss Maisel and reading up on our new head coach.
I like that show, all right.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It's okay. Cute.
Yeah.
From what I saw.
That's what I'd call it.
I thought it gets good at the end of the first season, beginning of season two, I think.
The husband is insufferable.
Yeah, he's an asshole.
Does he get better?
He's okay. Yeah,
I mean, he's not like fun and insufferable either. Like, he's not like Pete Campbell from Mad Men.
Yeah, I would say he stays about the same.
Okay.
But there's
spoiler
alert: another guy comes in. So,
but Alex, you're not feeling well, so you've asked me to host. I will try.
I think you're gonna
do
fine.
Thanks.
Did you get new glasses?
I forgot to take these off. These are my avoiding glare on a computer all day glasses. That's why they're like slightly tinted.
Yeah, I see that.
Interesting.
Like transition lenses that got caught between phases.
Do they have the thing that like blocks out the blue light that helps you like go
more,
to sleep at
they're
night
more yellow,
and like wake up like cleaner?
It's exactly like looking at your computer or at your phone when you put it on that like night mode thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's high tech.
So
have you been sleeping better as a result?
I got a weighted blanket. That thing has given me
so
like,
I got
sleep.
One of those too.
I got that for Christmas.
We're really burying the lead here. I promise we're going to get to
Did
coaching
anything
news.
Happen with the Packers or anything else in the last couple of weeks?
Well, this is the first time that we've gotten together here since before the
15
Jets game.
After week 15.
Yeah, before the Jets game. The holidays came, so we apologize to you guys. We
mailed it in.
Yeah.
We mailed it in. Packers.
Yeah.
Although they didn't mail it in enough. What the fuck, guys?
You also may notice that it probably sounds a little bit echoey. That's because we are out of the School of Journalism studio and in a rented,
momentarily
cavernous spot.
I like the exposed brick, though. Yeah. It's pretty cozy.
Follow the show at the APC Pod on Twitter. Ben is just laughing as I'm trying
pilot
this rickety ship.
How many minutes in are we?
What's that?
How many minutes in are we?
It's just 2.5.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah.
Wow, time flies.
Of course, we will talk about the Packers' new head coach made official. I think they signed the contract. Is that right?
Four with an option for five.
Yeah. And I think that this is Tuesday that we're recording this. So tomorrow, Wednesday, they are probably going to have an announcement with a press conference with the big Irish goofball and Gutekunst.
Who's the big Irish goofball? Oh, Murphy?
Yeah, Murphy. Dude is such a goofball.
He is a goofball.
Let's just first off all thank the lucky stars that Fitzgerald is nowhere near this Packers team.
Pat Fitzgerald?
Yeah, I was genuinely worried about that outcome.
Yeah, so we'll get to that. Why don't we just get right into it and introduce Matt LaFleur.
Ooh.
The new head coach of the Green Bay Packers.
Ooh, la la, LaFleur.
Full disclosure. Ben and Alice can't hear that because they forgot to bring headphones to this recording session. So it's just me, a sad man listening to French music alone. Yeah. Anyway, Matt LaFleur is the guy. Initial reactions here, what do you guys think? You know, we ran a poll at the APC pod on Twitter asking, hey, everyone, Matt LaFleur is the new coach of the Green Bay Packers, and this makes me feel great, fine, not good, or shrug emoji. And the results are pouring in. So far, it's a pretty even split with 39% of the people saying great, 36% saying fine, and 22% saying shrug emoji.
Nobody said bad.
3%.
Three?
Said bad. Okay. A nominal amount of people said bad.
That's like within the margin of error.
So how would you guys answer that poll,
that
Ben?
It's not actually a sample, but anyway, go on.
Ben, I'll start with you. How would you answer that poll?
I think I'm between fine and great. I think it's a good hire. I don't think any of the coaching candidates actually excited me to the great level. And what I also wonder is that unless there was like a big smokescreen with him, it makes me curious if they did meet with him, told him the way the division of powers would be in Green Bay, and he ultimately was like, look, you know, I get the keys to the castle, all of the castle in New England in the next couple of years. And there's like, I'm not giving that up to like get overruled by a first year GM or, you know, a non-football president.
Hey, he's hired some coaches.
Yeah.
He's not a football guy, so to speak.
Right. I think there's clearly some type of stake in the game for McDaniels to stay in New England. Like there's, and whether it's not, like,
there's some kind of what?
I mean, there's got to be like high. Well, there's a ton of financial incentive. He's the highest coordinator, right? In all of football.
Well, and when he did stay last year, they basically said that, you know, he's going to get all the powers that Belichick has, which is basically the best job in football.
Every year, his name comes up, but it's like what would be different about this? I guess that it's Aaron Rodgers, and I guess that last year Andrew Luck had a shoulder that we didn't know if it would ever work again. But it's not like the Colts.
Turns
job
out it works fine.
Yeah, it's not like the Colts job wasn't an attractive one either. I mean, I guess they were
they looked pretty bad.
I mean, roster wise, they were probably a mess, but like how much bigger of a mess are they than the Packers when you take out the quarterback position?
The Colts last year?
Right.
I want to revisit McDaniels, but firstly, before we do that, Alex, what is your answer to the question? The Packers hired Matt LaFleur, and I think that's blank.
Yeah. I mean, I am excited about it. I mean, I feel like the shrug emoji answer is kind of what we all like. There's nothing wrong with having that reaction, which is kind of what I have. I'm not shrugging because I'm like, why would they like this guy? I'm just like, I just always go back. Like when they hired Mike McCarthy, you could trace the lineage back. Like he came from a good coaching tree, but he was also the coordinator of an offense that was very uninspiring. There's a lot of similarities there. But I like a couple of things. I mean, I like that there's kind of like a youth injection now. He is like eye candy, which some people have already mentioned.
Handsome boy. Hashtag nice handsome boy. Starting it right
on
now.
On he's the a sideline. Handsome boy. I'm a little sad. I watched one press conference of his. He's going to be much harder to impersonate. There are way fewer like quirks and little idiosyncrasies with him than there are with Mike McCarthy.
He doesn't always sound like he just ate lunch way too fast.
He doesn't hold in his burp. He kind of just sounds just like
you guys
a
are
chill
leaving out,
bro.
Leaving out the biggest mark in his favor. And by you guys, I mean also me because I went first.
that there's some type of French Canadian.
No, that he went to Saginaw State for 3 years. I mean, like if you're a Jeff Janis fan, he's your guy, and he's gonna be, you know, it's a great white hype.
Maybe he'll give us, maybe tomorrow, maybe tomorrow he'll give us something in the press conference. I feel like how would you even build a bit around LaFleur right now? I guess you could just play up every French stereotype, I've seen all the puns.
I want to say, I think it is very on brand and appropriate for us to have our consensus answer be shrug emoji, because one thing we do well on this show is admit when we don't know things.
Downplay expectations. I mean, let's be real. The only appropriate answer to almost anything that happens in an NFL team that you are not in a position to like have any say
when
in
you don't have a result
is a collective shrug.
Yeah, like, exactly.
I should not get anywhere near as upset as I do about things that I have no power over.
So many takes out there if you scroll through Twitter of fans who are just like, they hired someone too fast. They didn't hire someone fast enough. Yeah. They didn't interview enough people. They interviewed too many people. It's like, slow down.
Well, I wonder
no
how
one
many
knows
times.
Anything.
Look, I mean, like I'm happier with this than I am with Bruce Arians. Right. Or like, you know, like...
Who only wanted to go to Cleveland. Cleveland until the idea of half retiring in Tampa came
exactly.
to the table.
Yeah. Man, he's going to be in flip-flops all day long.
All day. Coaching a rapist. No big deal.
Yeah. Flip-flops
and
a Kangol.
They're all rapists.
Yeah, that's
they're
true.
Not all rapists. That's libelous. But, like, I mean, look, Big Ben is like, destroyed, single-handedly destroyed Pittsburgh this season.
Yeah.
And
it's bad.
Who would want to coach that?
No, but I do want to go back to just, like, the there was some criticism about, like, oh, you know, they hired him and he didn't really interview anywhere else. And are the Packers just falling into this, like, he was around Sean McVay thing? And, like, how I saw, like, a lot of people just being, like, finding the next McVay is such, like, a stupid, desperate thing to do or whatever. Like, man, like, come on. Like, he's coached in a couple of places that clearly have a lot of smart minds there. Like, I like more that he was associated with Kyle Shanahan. I think he'd still be in L.A. if it weren't for the opportunity to call plays, which is something we should talk about later because now we have to find a coordinator who's going to be just a guy who doesn't call plays like the next Joe Philbin.
Edgar Bennett might be keen to come back.
But I think the fact that at some point there was kind of this like little like petri dish of Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay's, and now Matt LaFleur is like growing all together and that, you know, like I can't really be upset about that.
Yeah, I don't understand the idea of being against the idea of quote unquote searching for the next McVay, because the reality is if you are interviewing experienced head coaches, you're interviewing 100% people who have failed in the NFL. That's
right.
How it works.
I don't think there's necessarily
not that they haven't succeeded.
But I mean, like, I don't think, I mean, like, I think there is this kind of bias against people who, you know, didn't succeed somewhere.
You want to interview all of them. That's why that's what they did.
Team packed up and moved. Yeah. Like, you know, and they got a good deal out of it in the end. I mean, there's a lot of football coaches who strike out, you know, before they hit a home run.
And that's why they talk to the Caldwells and the Paganos.
But,
and those guys
and
aren't even.
Talk to Caldwell to get the Rooney rule out of the way.
Yeah.
I guess the other thing is like,
I was a little excited about Brian Flores. I will say that.
Really?
I was more excited about Brian Flores than I was about McDaniels.
Yeah.
Mostly because Flores, he's like Southeast Brooklyn. And I live in Southeast Brooklyn.
Nice.
I thought that'd be cool.
That's a great reason for the Packers to hire him.
Yeah.
It's a very on-brand
reason.
It's
as good
reason.
As any other reason anybody's trotting out.
For this, yeah. Mine was that he's good-looking and provides eye candy to the sideline that once did not have it.
Hashtag handsome boy.
No, but I do want to say, I feel like...
He's going to gain like 30 pounds.
Yeah. No.
Like,
immediately.
That guy hasn't aged. I just saw somebody do a side-by-side of his like playing days picture. He literally looks exactly the same.
Yeah.
Was it a Sag Valley State or Western Michigan, which is the other school he played for.
Oh, I think it was actually the Western Michigan picture. I also saw he played for a team called the Beef.
Yeah, the Omaha Beef.
Which is fucking hilarious. But anyway, no, like I feel like more often than not, all
the
I do
Omaha
is,
beef cake.
Is complain about other people's criticisms. But the other thing that kind of bothered me is that if we're going to, like, I don't like that the Packers are being painted as, like, oh, or do they really think it's just going to work because he spent 1 year with Sean McVay or something like that? Like, I don't think that that's the reason they're hiring him.
No.
Like, he probably murdered the interview. They probably think he's going to work well with Rodgers. And it probably has a lot to do with his time in Washington, which was clearly a place where they had a lot of bright minds, right?
Yeah.
Which is so baffling because we were talking about this before the show. That was all under Mike Shanahan, when Mike Shanahan was kind of this, like, red-faced buffoon at the end of his career.
Well, let's be real,
but actually, three, like, brilliant offensive minds were growing underneath him.
The tree is
real.
Dan
Snyder could, like, ruin anything. Like, Dan Snyder could have... It was just like Art Modell could make Bill Belichick into a terrible coach. Like, a bad owner can ruin a team.
Isn't that hilarious that he had now three head coaches, and let's just say LaFleur is, like, good, and the Packers' offense is good. He would have had McVay. He would have had... Kyle Shanahan and LaFleur on the same staff, and Jay Gruden got that job.
Yeah,
and then ran Kirk Cousins out of town. Like,
yeah,
that's ridiculous.
Talking for a second
Kirk
about
Cousins
the
maybe deserved to get run out of town. I don't know if you guys watched that last game.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't know. Well, you know what? But though Kirk Cousins was the reason that Sean McVay was like so like happy to work in Washington. Like he openly talks about how attracted he was to working with Cousins.
Well, they're two handsome boys, so
yeah.
Cousins isn't that handsome.
I wouldn't.
He's a little white bread for me.
Hey, I don't like him. The ladies like him.
Yeah,
but
let's
get into a little bit of the nitty gritty about like what we know or what we think we know about LaFleur and his offense, which is really why I think that they brought him in. Reading up on him and sort of digesting all the takes, it sounds like the following two things are true. One is that he knows that he doesn't know some things. Another point that I saw echoed by a number of people, is that he appears to be pretty adaptable, which is something that Packer fans are not used to in a head coach slash offensive mind. There's evidence of sort of catering offensive game plans to like the strengths of the actual players who are actually available that week. And McCarthy was often accused of being, you know, rigid or stubborn or too focused on fundamentals and sort of losing the nuances of matchup football. And another thing that has been said about LaFleur is that his play calling style seems really sort of varied and intentional, designed to confuse the defense, scheme guys open, sort of a modern take on the quick schemed looks, opening up big plays, you know, something that McCarthy's offense used to do well.
Right.
And then defense has figured it out.
Yeah. I mean, schematically, I don't know if all that much is going to change, even to the extent that some of the personnel is like pretty similar. I mean, obviously, Rodgers and Mariota. Mariota is not a bad quarterback. He's just been hurt.
I think that what I've heard about LaFleur is that when you watch the offensive formations, and I'm not a film guy, but what I've heard is when you watch the offensive formations, you don't see a lot of repetition throughout the game. They change it up a lot, and that's very different from the Packers, who trot out three different formations all game long, and know there's a 30% chance they're going to run X play every time.
Yeah, I mean, I there's no way that it's not more interesting, right? Like, that would just be... less interesting.
I'm shocked that you're not, like, over the moon about the way that they use Deion Lewis.
Well, that's... I was going to say, actually, is that I think that Derrick Henry is, you know, like a thoroughbred, obviously. But, you know, he's not that different physically and stylistically from Jamal Williams, and Deion Lewis and Aaron Jones are somewhat similar.
Derrick Henry had like one of the best like second halves to a season.
Well, Derrick Henry just had two games where he went like ballistic.
Because for the beginning of the season, everyone was mocking him for being like a huge bust.
And and for the hyper Packers focused listeners, we're now talking about the Titans roster of this past season.
Oh, but I mean, like, but at receiver, you know, he had a dearth of anybody to play. I mean, TJ Sharp, like, these are some good, decent young receivers, but like, if you think watching MVS and Equanimeous St. Brown all season is hard, like, watch some of the Titans, what the Titans were working with on the back end.
And it was said that he had designed this whole year around Delanie Walker. Yeah.
To be fair, as somebody who was really high on Jonnu Smith as a draft prospect, and then Jonnu Smith came on late in this season, like, who knows, maybe Jonnu Smith could have been gone to a little earlier in this whole process. But I also owned him in fantasy multiple times.
So. I feel like between Delanie and Mariota, I mean, like, to draw any like grand, you know, big conclusions about his abilities based in Tennessee, I mean, he was hamstrung the entire time, like, whether it be the number one option in the offense, the actual quarterback who runs the offense. You know, there's nothing I would say about his time in his one season in Tennessee that would be like, well, here's why I don't like it.
Yeah.
The hire. I just feel like that's totally unfair. Then McCarthy was hired off of a season where they were like in the bottom third of the league.
They were one
of the
worst offenses.
They were
one of
like 29th ranked offense.
At the same time, it's also you're not chasing kind of a recency bias, right? Like, you're going to see something that's beyond, you know, whatever, the 25th ranked offense in Tennessee. I think one of the things that's interesting too is that two of the teams that kind of defied expectations the most this season were teams that had like really drastic improvement on their offensive line, so both of which, at least in some part, at the guard position, namely Seattle and Indianapolis. And I think if the Packers can like sort out guard in this offseason, like, Lindsey was a quietly fantastic player this season and an Iron Man. Bulaga's, you know, stuck around as much as he ever does.
As much as his knees and ankles will let him.
Continued to be great. But, like, Byron Bell was a mess.
Ooh, boy.
You know, and so, like, there's a lot of players on the OL that graded out well, but the offensive line didn't play. This is not a season where I'd be like, oh, the Packers had, you know, outstanding offensive line play in a way that kind of turned, like, can carry an offense. Yeah. And so I do think that a little improvement at very key positions will go a long way.
I think their offensive line, like the way their offensive line graded out by like PFF metrics and all that stuff, is just evidence as to why those things don't tell the whole story.
Yeah, which I think even PFF like acknowledges. Yeah. Right? Like, I don't think they are under the impression that Aaron Rodgers was an amazing quarterback this season.
Yeah.
But there were moments where Aaron Rodgers was amazing. I mean, like, at the end of the day, if you were like writing up a scouting report of what quarterback you want, like, Aaron Rodgers should still be you know, in the top three on that list or wherever PFF had him.
I want to I want to move on, but first this is a little clunky because I want to back up for a second because Ben, you were talking about Josh McDaniels earlier, and before you got here, Alex and I were talking about Josh McDaniels as well, and just in terms of why they passed on him, if that is what happened, I wonder. I kind of feel like the people in the NFL actually really do care that he left the Colts at the altar. I think that's a big deal.
I mean, there's no way that definitely doesn't reflect well on somebody.
I wonder if he gets asked that in an interview and if he does not have a satisfactory answer.
I really hope so, because like the way players are held to this standard where like the dumb reasons they aren't drafted or like the, you know, when they get released by a team and
Who was it?
Their whole locker room turned against them for
Levante
something.
Devontae Davis, who retired in the middle of the game.
And like,
that was pretty dope.
Like, I hope coaches are held to that same standard, because that's pretty bullshit.
Well, like, yeah, I know, especially in a season where, like, you know, Lev Bell didn't get to play all year, partially, you know, didn't get to, is like partially absolving him of his own role in that. But it is kind of this, like, there is a lot of owner collusion against players. And if that finally shifted to some asshole coaches, I'd be okay with that. I think the other thing is that, you know, with McDaniels, you do have this question of, you know, Matt Patricia was garbage. A lot of coaches were, you know, every Belichick coach has been roughly hot garbage. I mean, like, occasionally they're okay. But
yeah.
Like, and McDaniels was the occasionally okay.
Now him and Vrabel. Vrabel was a player, even. Did he coach in New England?
I don't know.
No, I think he coached in Kansas City. He's part of the Andy Reid coaching tree, which is sneakily incredible. Everyone's
Doug
looking
Peterson,
for the next
man.
McVay. They should be looking for the next Doug Peterson. Doug Peterson is probably better than McVay.
Matt Nagy.
Either that or Nick Foles is actually
Bears.
A god.
Bears got
god, that
jobbed.
Was that was a, probably the I mean, well, we haven't watched Packer playoff football in 2 years, so that's probably the most fun playoff football I've watched.
That's probably true.
If you guys haven't heard this yet, and if the listeners have not heard this yet, there is a, I'll tweet it out again, but there's a Spanish language call of that missed kick.
Oh,
it is so priceless.
Somebody, I can't. Somebody worked double doink into the headline.
Yeah,
whatever the story was. Just like,
that's
oh,
so awesome.
Quality headline.
Double doink. Night.
Well, yeah. But before we move on, though, I just wanted to say, because we were kind of listing off reasons to like or not like or whatever. One thing that we did talk about, and I forget which former Packer player tweeted this long thing that we read on the show, but they were talking about the best way to earn Aaron Rodgers' respect, and it was basically to treat him as an equal and prove that, like, you're going to be, you know, just as hardworking, whatever, as him, yada, yada. I think that LaFleur seems very willing to do that. And I think that his age, even just being 39 and being someone like you talked about, who seems very like aware that he has more to learn, is going to be something that I think endears him to Aaron Rodgers quickly. Because when, you know, I think at the end of the McCarthy and Rodgers era, the relationship probably changed so much from when McCarthy was trying to grow with Aaron while Brett Favre was just playing out the rest of his career, to where McCarthy then just became the stubborn guy who clearly had an ego and clearly thought very highly of himself as a highly successful coach. And that probably was a big part of the reason why they just couldn't see eye to eye anymore. So like, we're starting over now. We're like rewinding back to like 2008 as far as like the approach to handling the quarterback, which I think is, again, like I know we almost over talk about Rodgers when it comes to the head coaching thing, but that's, to me, that's a big one.
Yeah, it's important.
I think like right away, like, they can probably joke about the same stuff. They probably, you know, share some similar interests.
Somebody send him a copy of The Princess Bride. Like,
yeah, seriously.
But I mean,
the Big Lebowski, and let's go. Like,
so I don't know. I don't think any of us talked about it like to one another yet. But like the Mercedes Lewis Martellus Bennett clip, you guys saw this?
Yes.
Yeah. Like, I mean,
I actually did not see this. No.
So
if you could
basically
reset it
where
us.
The fire, where the smoke was on the like Rodgers is changing stuff at the line, like Mercedes Lewis, it was on some show with Martellus Bennett, and they were talking about the way that like Rodgers and McCarthy functioned, and Mercedes Lewis was like, I'd never seen a QB like get the play call and then just go nah, and then throw a 40-yard. Bomb
completion.
To Devontae in a 4-minute offense.
He's also another player who confirms no look passes regularly at practice.
That's true.
Nice.
Another thing that they pointed out was that McCarthy's offense is really, really bad for inline tight ends. And and when you first hear that, you're like, oh, what? JerMichael Finley and Jared Cook. And neither of them were that in line. Like they were just kind of like big bodies split out wide. And like, oh, of course, you know, an offense that does really well with an empty backfield, four wide receivers and a big ass fifth receiver, basically masquerading as a tight end. Like, yeah, of course, Mike McCarthy can, you know, do well with that. But,
right.
You know, when coming into this season, I was like, oh, Mercedes Lewis, like, that's a real weapon. And I think we saw him like twice. I heard his name in a game broadcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway,
few and far between, that's for sure.
Well, so moving on, now that we have the head coach in place, we can turn our attention to the rest of the coaching staff. And one of the things that we learned in the last few hours and days is that it is possible that part of the reason that LaFleur was high on their list after the interview was that Mike Patton was one of the guys that he cited as someone that he would be interested in keeping. So now we hear that Patton is likely going to be retained. I think Joe Witt Jr. as well, some other coaches. So some stability there. I don't know, Ben, you and I have talked a little bit about wanting sort of a clean slate. This is definitely seeming like it's not that in terms of a total coaching staff reboot. Do you have any opinions?
I did not want a clean slate when it came to Patton.
Yeah, I feel like we got away with that.
I've been thoroughly on team keep Patton.
Okay.
But I mean, also because I just don't think there's, unless like Vic Fangio wants to come off or something, I don't think there's that much better on the on the market.
What about Joe Philbin? Because apparently we're hearing there might be a role for him still on the staff.
Keep him as the OC? That'd be hilarious.
Yeah. I don't think he would be the OC. I don't know if he's going to
quality control,
wash the towels. I have no idea.
Offensive. What was
the Benjamin Button career?
Edgar Bennett.
Like, that's like what the intern gets after.
Wasn't Edgar Bennett like an assistant head coach? No, Winston Moss was. No, but Edgar Bennett was also like an assistant head coach at one point. He was like an assistant head coach and an OC who didn't call plays.
Yeah, he had two titles.
Secret assistant to the regional manager.
It was just kind of like, all right, how many? And the Packers end up with that weird scenario where because they like are both remarkably stingy with a bunch of people, and then all of a sudden let like half the fucking front office leave in an offseason.
Yeah. I mean, I think that LaFleur is going to pick an offensive coordinator. I hope he doesn't just settle on Philbin. I'd be fine. And I guess they're keeping Brian Angelico a tight end coach, so I guess a clean slate on offense won't happen. But if it did, I'd be fine with it.
It's more
the defensive assistance, which is weird to say about a team that the defense has often let them down. Many of these guys have been around for so long. Those are the guys I want around, though. I feel like we got it. We should be really happy. I feel like
we
kept saying
like
Patton? We would even give Patton a head coaching job just to keep him around. But like the fact that now we're gonna have a little bit of continuity and consistency for all of these young players on defense, I think is so important. And if they could stay a little bit healthier next year, like they'll probably be in the top half of the league on defense, which may be all they need. Joe Witt Jr. has proven brilliance. I would definitely try to keep him around.
Yeah,
I think Patton schematically can be very good.
Yeah.
Just not when you have an Ibrahim Campbell and fucking whoever else running around.
Ibrahim Campbell's
there.
Okay. He wasn't.
Yeah, sorry. I'm not trying to. He was the most random name I could think of because a lot of the other ones I've literally already forgotten and wiped from my memory. Yeah. But if they clean slate on the offensive side of the ball, again, it sounds like they're not going to.
Yeah. James Campen is a name that people were excited to see possibly sticking around.
He's been what? The offensive line coach for like ever.
Forever.
Right?
He's very well respected around the league.
Think about the guys he used to have, to Ben's point before about like fixing guard. Like we always talk about that 2011 Sports Illustrated cover with all the skill position players. They also had some fucking great offensive linemen.
Oh, like, dude.
There wasn't
like
a single hole in that offensive line.
Basically. Like the mid-2000s, they didn't win anything. But like that offensive line.
They always had like all five guys were always like really solid. Now we have like one of the best, if not the best, left tackle. And that's kind of it, you know?
Well,
Lindsley's good.
Bulaga's good when he's healthy.
Bulaga's fine, but he can't stay.
I mean, I guarantee you they're targeting a couple positions early, and one of them is going to, I don't know if it'll be guard, but like, I mean, it might be a college blindside tackle who they transitioned to.
I would
guard.
Think receiver would be too, right? has anyone started the Antonio Brown campaign?
Well, so I think
campaign?
actually like a kind of do-it-all tight end, like the kid out of Iowa?
Regular all right, guys, Iowa. We are going to have a lot of time to talk about
the draft.
But I had something else to say, but if, oh, somebody I wouldn't mind coming back as an OC. Remember Luke Getsy?
I do remember him.
Yeah.
Old brick throwing Luke Getsy.
Yeah, just for the bricks.
So I just Googled it. And, you know, the Mississippi State Bulldogs, they weren't so bad this year. They were.
Was he their head coach?
No, he's their OC.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Really?
But, you know, if you can get somebody to come back, it might as well be the.
You just go back, right? And you just look at, I feel like the easiest thing, you just got to go back, see who else was on a staff with LaFleur at any point.
He's also only 34.
And that's probably where they'll go. 30. And people talked about Zach Taylor, which is definitely not happening because he wouldn't be calling plays.
Right.
So I feel like we've already gotten confirmation that LaFleur 100% will be calling. Has that been like reported anywhere that he, like, no matter what, will be calling the plays?
Not that I've seen, but he called the plays this past year in Tennessee, right?
Yeah, as an offensive coordinator. I mean, I would assume, like, if you're hiring that guy
for a very specific reason. Who else is it going to be, right? Like,
yeah.
Although, I mean, one thing I think...
Joe Philbin, he's right there.
One thing I think we should talk about is, like, if Packers fans expect to kind of... the Packers offense to come out of the gate roaring and, like, fixed, like, pump your brakes.
Fire LaFleur.
Well, it's just like it's hard to install an offense. I mean, like, I think they're going to get like an early-ish start.
They get an extra 2 weeks with a new coach.
What?
They get an extra 2 weeks with a new coach.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, but not of padded practices.
No,
just of off-season program.
Yeah. OTC? Did I just make that up?
Yep.
No. So
offensive training,
organized team conferences.
It's over the counter. It's a stock thing, but like, hey, it's not.
On message here.
I mean, you know, the shitty part about this is now we have to wait a couple months to get anything to like feel one way or the other about. That's the not fun part. And of course, everything in the summer is going to be like, oh, we've never seen the team look this good.
Right, yeah. Like, they come out.
And then they're going to like get blown out in the first preseason game. And then we're going to be like, this is stupid. And then...
do you think we'll see Rodgers? This is so far in ahead. Like, do you see Rodgers in the preseason a little more because he's playing in a new scheme?
No.
Probably see more Kaiser.
Look,
he was a Kaiser's quarterback.
We didn't even talk
coach,
about how stupid it was that Rodgers played the last 2 weeks of the season. We have, like, left that mercilessly
untouched. Let's just not.
I don't even want to talk about that.
Man, that last game was
But as
something
Ben Fennell
else.
Pointed out, LaFleur coached Kaiser at Notre Dame.
All right, guys. Well, we are going to have many, many months ahead to talk about...
to figure out when Matt LaFleur was at Notre Dame.
Exactly, as Ben Googles on his phone. All of this and more ahead as the offseason starts, unfortunately, a little early for the Green Bay Packers. But before we get out of here, we wanted to do one last update of the APC Podcast Listener Pick'em League. Have to
we
give a
winners.
Big... a big shout out and a hearty congratulations to Nick Varley.
Way to go, Nick.
By 1 point, narrowly defeats Kyle Clifton to become the winner, unseating Victor? Victor won last year.
Yeah.
Unseating Victor Alves as this year's champion.
As we all celebrate to not send a prize to Brazil.
Yes. No, we sent something.
Oh, yeah.
No,
yeah.
But not, we aren't sending one this
no,
year.
No, I'm saying like this year we don't have to, domestic shipping this
it's
year.
It's true. The prize still has not been determined. I got some funny ideas, but Nick Varley, if you're listening, we're going to get your info on the Twitter DMs at the APC pod, and we will go from there. A prize to be named later will be mailed to your house.
Sweet.
Boom.
Congrats.
How did I do hosting the show?
I honestly think the show is much more flowing when you do it. I would love to hear any type of listener comment. I'm not just trying to give responsibility to other people. I feel more in it when you do it. You're very smooth, Zach.
Oh, thank you. We should get a vocoder. Is that what you said, Ben?
I mean, that is unrelated to your performance test.
You're doing a bad job of talking into the microphone right now.
Sorry. Should I keep talking?
No, it's okay. The polka has started, so now is the part of the show where we kind of wind it down.
Oh, okay. Right.
It's good
done.
To see you guys after
it was
a couple
good
weeks.
To see you. It was very good to see you. I'm excited about the LaFleur era.
Yeah.
Me too.
What else is there to do in the next couple of months? I got to get it this
week. Hopefully we get a press conference coming up here this week. We can meet LaFleur. We can study his voice. We can work on some good impressions. No more McCarthy impressions, sadly.
Yeah.
But you still owe us one last one. I'm not going to make it. It's got to be an authentic moment.
Today wouldn't be a good one.
Yeah. With the not sickness. Feeling
well. Well, he might be coming to New York, which I am thrilled about, actually.
McCarthy. Yeah.
If he's going to the Jets.
He'd be great with the Jets.
I think he would actually be great. I have a very, very good friend of mine, a very close Jets fan. I told him, like, you should be hoping for this.
I was looking in the classifieds today, and I found $150,000 Coaches Club Jets tickets, which is like it's like when you sit behind the bench around the 40-yard line.
Oh, nice.
And all your stuff is included. You get a parking pass. You get, like, food. And it's definitely not worth $150,000.
Nice.
You know what else isn't worth $150? This podcast.
$150,000.
Yeah. Oh, we're worth $150,000.
Holy.
Yeah,
collectively.
Yeah. I mean, this is like season tickets for like the Goldman Sachs set. Yeah, like at like the uppers. Yeah. Like that's more than a house in most places. Anyway.
We're worth a couple bucks. SB Nation sends us something in the mail every once in a while.
Yeah. Should be coming soon.
We should have. we screwed up. We should have recorded some podcasts the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. Subscribe on iTunes. Give us a rating. We've got more ratings coming in. We appreciate it. We're over 80, I believe, since we started pumping this like maybe like 2 months ago. So that's like 20 new reviews. We really appreciate it. We read them all. They're usually very nice, and that makes me feel good.
And the ones from Kyler Fackrell's relatives are obviously always from Kyler Fackrell's relatives, which is hilarious to me.
Keep them coming.
Shout out, Miss Fackrell. Au revoir, boys.
All right, guys. I don't know when we'll do this next. Maybe next week.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah. All right. Smooth ending. That's it for the show. The APC Podcast. See you guys next time. Chug-a-luck until they're dry.
My name is Spencer Hall.
My name is Jason Kirk.
My name is Ryan Nanny.
And when we combine, we form
the Shutdown Fullcast.
Voltron!
I keep telling you, we're not Voltron.
The Shutdown Fullcast is technically a college football podcast, but it's also a show about
lawn care disasters,
regional grocery stores we love,
Tennessee Batman,
homeowners associations,
Bears and video games.
I mean, there's also some actual football discussion, like about coaches having huge contracts, or coaches making terrible decisions, or coaches saying really stupid things.
Or the NCAA saying really stupid things.
Yeah, there's lots of stupid things in this big, dumb, beautiful sport.
Sometimes we talk about football games.
Allegedly.
If you want to take college football exactly as seriously as it deserves to be taken, come find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you listen to podcasts like this one.
The Shutdown Fullcast.
It's not Voltron.